Yeah, he's like an urban. some of them kind of cross over.
Yeah.
Like, so it's like cool. Like,
I just think about it.
He should.
He like,
Thank you. I'm praise the Lord. Turn around to two or three people and welcome them, smile at them, tell them, man, it's the Word of God says in Psalm 100, it says, make a joyful shout to the Lord. Into his courts with praise. Be thankful to him. Are we thankful to the Lord today? Be thankful to him. Bless his name. For the Lord is good and his mercy is everlasting. The Bible says that we come into his gates with thanksgiving. We come into his courts with praise. The reason why we start our service with worship and with singing is because that's what brings you into the presence of God. So Lord, we come before you today with thanksgiving, with praise. We lift up a shout before you, Lord. We are thankful because you are good. Thank you for your mercy. Thank you for your presence. Lord, I thank you today that as we worship you, you inhabit our praise. I thank you that you touch people today. Your presence comes upon us. Your anointing lifts burdens. Your anointing destroys yokes. Lord, we give you all the thanks and the praise with everything that will be said and everything that will be done. If you believe it, shout out, amen.
Thank you.
Thank you. Praise the Lord.
What was that song? How great.
There's been since my sleep. How great. How many of you know how God is great? He's the Most High God. Lord, we worship you today. We give you praise. We are thankful for your goodness, your mercy. Do you have one more song in you this morning? Do you think you can sing one more song? I want to encourage you to enter in to worship this morning. Don't be a spectator. Be a participator. Don't stand on the outside looking in, but enter in. And I encourage you to lift your hands as a sign of surrender and worship to the Lord. And sing this song with us. It's called None. There is none. There is none like our God. There's none that can compare. There is none as is powerful. There's no God as awesome as our God. He is the only true God. He is the risen Savior. He's the one who hears and answers prayer. He's the one who raises the dead, makes the lame to walk, the blind to see. He's the miracle worker. It's coming today. It's here. There is none like our God. Say, there's nobody like my God. There's nobody like
before. Father, we magnify your name in this place. It is our honor to lift you up. We thank you that the word says that you inhabit the praise of your people. Father, we welcome you. We welcome your Holy Spirit in this place. From our very soul, we cry out our worship to you this morning, Lord, for you are everything. There's none like you. We magnify you. Anybody else with me here today? Glorify the Lord. When we sing, my soul cries out. It's just from your heart. Doesn't that worship just come right out of your heart to the heart of God? He's worthy of all our praise. Amen. Amen. Welcome to church this morning. And this worship team, you're awesome. God. That's the way it's meant to be. They don't worship on our behalf, right? We worship God for ourselves. Awesome. Well, welcome to you one and all. Why don't you just turn and greet someone, tell them you look good. Church, don't we? We do, right? We like having visitors in our church. What I like about this location is last time we had people, you know, the manager from the restaurant over there and people walking by come and inquire because they could hear us outside. So that's a good thing, right? Yeah. Right out here on this, right on the street. But if you are here for the first time, we'd just like to honor you, don't embarrass you. Yeah, wherever you're sitting, we'd just like to hand you a gift bag and recognize you. So if you're here for the first time, would you just wave your hand for us? God bless you. Welcome. Thank you. Let's pick it up to Natasha Spassi. Put your hand up there as well. By Tom, next to Tom. Thank you. Anyone else? Just lift it up. We're so glad that you're here. And in that gift bag is a couple of things. One is a teaching CD from Pastor Steve. He always preaches a very faith-building and encouraging message, so we give that to you, hoping it'll be a blessing to you. In that envelope's a white card. We ask you just take a moment and fill it out. At the end of the service, we pass an offering bag by, and if you just drop that white card in there, it gives us an opportunity. When I say us, it gives Pastor Steve an opportunity to call you and find out how you enjoyed the service, and we're very grateful that we're here. And we hang around for a while after the service. Well, when I say a while, I mean until the last person's gone. And sometimes Miguel says to me, do you need help? Because he comes up behind Pastor Stephen, he's going to direct him, but he doesn't leave till the last person leaves. So if you are here for the first time and you'd just like to come and greet us, we would appreciate that. And we're very glad to have our South African friends. We have Kevin and Brenda Thomas and their son Dean. So let's welcome them. Thank you.
We've known Kevin and Thomas. Kevin and Brenda. Thomas is the last. Kevin and Brenda. We've known them for 35 years. They first started, they are faithful members at Christian Family Church in Johannesburg, South Africa. Their son Dean, he's a pilot. I believe he's going to be moving to the US or everybody's green card. He won it in the lottery. And so, you started attending Christian Baptist Church Johannesburg in 1982. I was 18 years old. Remember that far back? No gray hair, no wrinkles. We're glad you're here with us today. Praise God. And I want to thank everyone who invited someone to come to church today. How many of you invited someone to come to church today? Hold your hand up, wave it at me. Good. Well done. Say, well done, everybody. I want to encourage you to get in the habit. When you came in today, I think you were given an invite card. I use these to invite people to church. And I want to encourage you to make it a habit every week to invite someone. Think about, who can I take with me to church on Sunday so that I don't go to heaven by myself? We want to take as many people to heaven as we can. We want to plunder hell and populate down. Right? And that's what God has called us. So thank you for inviting somebody. And you sang so well today.
Yes.
I must tell you, the worship was so good. What is it about this room that you sing better in this room than you do upstairs? How many of you felt the same way? How many of you know that you've got to worship God no matter where you are? Even Paul and Silas were in a prison cell. And they started giving praise to God. Doesn't matter what room you're in. We give God praise no matter what. Amen? But the worship team did a wonderful job today. And I want to say thank you to all of our volunteers who served today. We appreciate you. I especially want to say thank you to the setup team. Where's the setup team today, James? Miguel, where's Miguel? Who is on setup team today? Jesse. Everyone who's on setup team, thank you, because they get here at 6:30 a.m. to set up this room for us, and so I appreciate it. Don't you appreciate it? So thank you so much. We're going to have a great time today. Are you ready for the Word of God today? Did anyone bring your Bible to church today? Anybody bring your Bible? You got your Bible on your phone? Well, this morning, thank you, brother. I want to speak to you this morning about the God who overrules. Say, the God who overrules. You know, maybe you are sitting here this morning and you feel restricted. Maybe because of a past mistake, or maybe because of an addiction, or maybe a health matter, maybe a legal situation. Do you feel like there are enemies that have come against you? Do you know sickness is an enemy? Lack is an enemy. Struggle is an enemy. We all face limiting situations, but the good news I want to tell you this morning is that our God is a God who can overturn areas that we feel blocked from moving forward and living our best life ever. God wants to deliver you from those enemies, whether it's an enemy of sickness or depression or fear or struggle or lack. I want you to get ready, because I believe that God is about to judge in your favor, and what stopped you in the past is not going to stop you anymore. I believe that our God is about to overrule. In Psalm 9, verse 3, I love this scripture. It says this: my enemies turn in retreat. They staggered and died when you appeared. For you have judged in my favor. From your throne you judge offenders. Lord, my enemies were defeated. Why? because you judged in my favor. How many of you know in our legal system, a court will rule on the case, give its verdict. But just because you have the verdict, that doesn't mean it's final. Because you can appeal to a higher court. Right? And if they see it differently, because they have more authority, they can overrule what the lower court decided. I mean, there could be a ruling from a local court or a regional court or a state court. They all see it one way. But if you appeal to the Supreme Court and they see it another way, then all the lower court's rulings are nullified and of no effect, because the higher court can overrule the lower court. Is that true? The Supreme Court is the highest authority in this in our nation. They can overrule any decision. In the same way, we all have things that come against us that look like they're permanent. It looks like it's the final decision. It looks like it's all over. You're always going to be addicted. I mean, it runs in your family. You're never going to get well. I mean, did you see that medical report? You're never going to meet the right person. I mean, you've been single for so long now. But the key is this. That's the lower court's ruling. But that is not the final say. There is a higher court that has more authority. Our God is called the Most High God. In fact, in Psalm 83, verse 16, it says, then they will learn that you alone are called the Lord, that you alone are the Most High, supreme over all the earth. Let me tell you, God is the Supreme Court. He is the supreme ruler. He is the ultimate authority. He's the Supreme Court all by himself. He can overrule any decision. When the lower court tells you, you're never going to get well, God says, overruled, I'm restoring health back to you. When the lower court says, you made too many mistakes, you're never going to fulfill your destiny now, God says, overruled, my mercy is bigger than any mistake. When the lower court says, you're never going to get out of debt, God says, overruled, you will lend and not borrow. You'll never break that addiction, overruled, you can do all things through Christ who gives you strength. He's the God who overrules. So don't let what the lower court decided become permanent in your thinking. Don't let it discourage you to where, you know, you stop believing. You've got to realize it's just temporary. That may be the way that it is right now, but your case is under appeal. It's being reviewed. The good news is the judge in the case, the highest authority in the universe, the one who makes the final decision, it just so happens that you are related to him. He's not a distant cousin, twice removed. He's not a long-lost relative that you've never met. He's your heavenly Father, so you have an advantage. The judge is on your side. Wouldn't you like to go to the Supreme Court when your father is one that's on the court? How many of you know that kind of turns things in your favor? The Bible says in Psalm 9, verse 3, my enemies retreated, they staggered and died, but you appeared, for you have judged in my favor. The Message Bible says it like this. The Message translation says, the day my enemies turned tail and ran, they stumbled on you and fell on their faces. You took over and you set everything right. When I needed you, you were there taking charge. I want to tell you, when you need the Lord, He is there taking charge, overruling, judging in your favor. Those enemies that have come against you, how many of you feel like an enemy's come against you? Now, if you don't have any enemies coming against you, you need to get saved. You need to give your life to the Lord. Because if you don't have any enemies, that means you're not any threat. But the truth is that we all have enemies that come against us. Enemy of sickness. Enemy of addiction. Enemy of fear. Enemy of lack. But I want to tell you, God
is about to judge in your favor. He told me to tell you today, he's about to judge in your favor. He's about to overrule some things. What you're dealing with is just, listen, it's not permanent. You're about to get a new verdict. You're going to see a breakthrough in your house. Doors are going to open bigger than what you ever imagined. God is going to bring divine connections across your path. And maybe you're not in a good place right now. But where you are at right now and what you've come from doesn't have to limit where you're going to. You might be facing challenges that look like they're permanent, like this is never going to change, Pastor Steve. You might have dreams that seem impossible. You don't see a way. But don't worry, because God has a way. He knows how to overrule. He controls the whole universe. Amen. This message really is encouraging for me. Because let me tell you what happened with us. Last year, our building that we had, our church building that we've been in since 2009 was foreclosed on, and we ended up losing that building. Most of you will know this. And the bank was determined not just to foreclose on the building, but they wanted to shut us down. They wanted to destroy us. My lawyer said to me, I've never seen such a vindictive attitude in all my years. He said, it's like scorched earth. I mean, they are out, this was his word, they are out to destroy you. They became an enemy. And the funniest thing in the world is their name is Church Loans. Church Loans. We're going to destroy that church. They are more powerful, have more resources. They hired one of the most expensive lawyers in the state of Florida. They spent hundreds of thousands of dollars trying to shut us down. You could say that the lower court said, you're done. You're never going to get another building. This is the end of it. That's what the enemy was trying to tell me. But the higher court, the Lord, said, overruled. And the Lord judged in our favor.
Amen.
And the Lord gave me favor with a Jewish man named Joseph. Not that Joseph. I'm not talking about Joseph and Mary. I'm talking about a real man, Joseph, who's Jewish. God gave me favor with this man. He saw me on television. And he called me. He said, I want to help you. And he offered to say, I want to sell you my building. You don't need a bank. See, when the bank said you'll never get another building, God said, overall, you don't need a bank.
Yes.
He said to me, you don't need a bank. It's paid for. You just pay me the interest. All I want is the interest every month for 20 years. We all, this is the contract signed. Tuesday, we put in for zoning. We put in for zoning on Tuesday. Let me tell you, we are going to end up with a better building in a better location for half the amount we were paying every month. The God who overrules. Psalm 18 verse 16 says, he reached down from heaven and he rescued me. He drew me out of the deep waters. He rescued me from powerful enemies, from those who hated me and they were too strong for me. But God reached down and he rescued me and he lifted me up. Let me tell you, don't mess with me, because the God who overrules is on my side. You have an advantage. The Lord is on your side. Say, God is on my side. See, some of you, you're not convinced of that. But you've got to know that God is on your side. You don't have to be fearful. You don't have to be anxious. Just trust Him. Romans 8 verse 31 says, if God is for us, who can ever stand against us? Say, if God is for me, nothing can stand against me. The Voice Bible says, if God is on our side, then tell me, who should we fear? What's the answer? Nobody. Nobody. You may not be able to beat the cancer on your own, but the good news is you're not on your own. The Most High God is rooting in your favor. He's going to rescue you from the deep waters. He's going to deliver you from powerful enemies. The lower court may tell you, oh no, I don't think so. You should just accept it. Just accept the sickness. Just accept that legal problem. It's too big. These people, they're too powerful. But God is saying to you, it's no match for me. I'm about to turn things in your favor. I'm about to overrule what looked permanent. I'm allowed to turn it around for you. Instead of dwelling on how big your enemies are, start dwelling on how big your God is. And all through the day, you should be declaring, Lord, I thank you. You're the God who overrules. And I thank you. You're judging in my favor. And I thank you. You're on my side. I'm learning to stand against you. What I am attempting to do today is to build your faith. I'm attempting to do one thing, to believe that if God is for you, then nothing can hold you back. Yeah. Amen. Yeah. I heard about this young man was working on his truck at home. He was at home working on his truck. He had it up on jacks. And while he was underneath the truck, something shifted. And the truck fell on him. And he was there, lying, being crushed by the truck. Nobody was around to help him. He wasn't able to move. But when it hit his chest, somehow it knocked his cell phone out, and somehow he pushed the button where Siri came on and said, how can I help you? You know Siri?
Yeah.
So he was barely conscious. He had a truck lying on top of his chest. He said, Siri, call 911. She called 911. In a matter of minutes, the paramedics were there. They saved his life. The doctor said 5 more minutes, he'd been crushed to death. The lower court said, too bad, an accident, you're done. The higher court said, overruled, it's not your time to go yet. Amen. Scripture says in Exodus 23, verse 26, I will fulfill the number of your days. Amen. Say, thank you, Lord, you fulfill the number of my days. You see, the enemy is not in control of your life. The enemy cannot stop your purpose. An accident cannot stop you. A bad break, a sickness. Let me tell you, God has the final say. And if it's not your time to go, family, if God hasn't fulfilled your days, then you're not going to go. He's going to overrule it. Remember in the scripture when Satan wanted to test Job and he had to ask God for permission? He couldn't just go in there and do whatever he wanted. He had to ask God. That's why we don't have to live worried and fearful and afraid, because we're in a controlled environment. Yeah. Our Father is on the throne. He is the judge. The Bible says He has you in the palm of His hand. Nothing can snatch you away. But sometimes we think it's God versus the enemy. But how many of you know the enemy is not an equal opposite of God? I said the enemy is not an equal opposite of God. You know, you have hot or cold. You have light or dark. You have good or evil. Those are all equal opposites. But it is not God and the enemy. Because God created the enemy. God is the creator. And Satan is a created being.
Yeah.
Satan is a fallen angel. He wasn't made in the image of God. You have been made in the image of God. But if you see the enemy as being this powerful force that can stop you, control you, determine your destiny, then you've given Him power over you that really He doesn't have. When Jesus rose from the dead and came out of the grave, He took away the keys of death, hell, and the grave. And he said in Matthew 28, all authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go therefore. In other words, Jesus won that authority for us. He's given it to us. He said, all authority has been given to me. Now you go. So you are more powerful than any force that is trying to stop you. The enemy has already been defeated. We're in a fixed fight. We know the final outcome. God says in his word in 2 Corinthians chapter 2 verse 14, thanks be to God who always leads us in triumph in Christ. He always leads us in triumph in Christ. He always leads us into victory. And God says, I'm going to judge in your favor. Amen?
Amen.
You know, during the Civil War, Ulysses Grant was a respected general. One day he climbed up on top of this mountain and he looked down in the valley below, and much to his surprise he saw Harrison's army quickly approaching, and Grant was overcome with fear. He saw these thousands of troops and horses waiting to attack, and as he stood there with his heart beating in his chest, trying to figure out what's he going to do, he noticed when Harrison's army saw him, they turned around and they started retreating. And his heart quit beating so fast, he calmed down as he watched the army ride off into the distance. Grant said he learned something that day that he'll never forget. That every adversary knew his name, and that they are more afraid of me than I am of them. Let me tell you, the Bible says in 1 John 4 verse 4, you are of God, little children, and you have overcome them, because he who is in you is greater than he who is in the world. The New Living Translation says you have already won a victory over those people because the spirit who lives in you is greater than the spirit who lives in the world. Yeah. The Contemporary Bible says, children, you belong to God and you have defeated these enemies. God's spirit is in you and it is more powerful than the one that is in the world. The New Century Bible says, my dear children, you belong to God and you have defeated them because God's Spirit who is in you is greater than the devil who is in the world. Say, the greater one lives in me. Say, greater is he that is in me than he that is coming against me. See, you don't have to be afraid of the enemy. Can I tell you something? He's afraid of you. I said, he's afraid of you. When he looks at you, he doesn't just see you. He sees who you belong to. You remind him of his defeat, that 2,000 years ago when Jesus conquered him. You remind him that he is powerless. You remind him that Jesus triumphed over him. I mean, he can try and rule you all day long. The good news is that's the lower court. What he does is just temporary. When God says overruled, every force of darkness is broken. You need to get ready, family. God's about to overrule some things in your life. God's about to overrule that addiction, overrule that depression, overrule that sickness, overrule that injustice, that unfair situation. That is not your destiny. God has a life of victory for you. That's what he did for the Israelites. They've been in slavery for 430 years. 430 years they've been slaves in Egypt. And I'm sure they just accepted it. I'm sure they thought, well, this is our lot in life. You know, going to work, being mistreated, taken advantage of. Most of them had been born into that. It wasn't their fault. But one day, God had enough. And God said in Exodus 3 verse 7, I have surely seen the oppression of my people who are in Egypt, and I have heard their cry because of their taskmasters, and I know their sorrows. So I have come down to deliver them out of the hand of the Egyptians and to bring them up into their land of a good and large land, a land flowing with milk and honey. The lower court said they were stuck. But God said, overrule. This is a new day. No more injustice. Their captors were bigger. Their captors were stronger. Their captors had more equipment. But God delivered them from powerful enemies. And God caused Pharaoh not just to let the Israelites go. But the Bible says in Psalm 105, the Lord brought his people out of Egypt loaded with silver and gold. Do you know, on their way out,
Moses told them, ask the Egyptians for their wealth. Ask them for their gold. Ask them for their silver. And the Bible says God gave the people favor and the Egyptians gave them their wealth. The Bible says they actually plundered the Egyptians. They could have left empty-handed. That would have been a great victory. I mean, just to be free, that would be a great victory. But God said, no, it's payback time. I'm going to compensate you for everything that you've been through. Let me tell you, family, God knows what you own. He knows every person that's done you wrong. He knows every injustice. He knows every bad break. And He's not just going to bring you out, but He's going to pay you back. When He settles your case, family, you're going to come out fully compensated. You're going to come out vindicated. You're going to come out honored. People will know the Lord has ruled in your favor. Amen. I can't wait to stand on the platform in that new building and say, look what great things the Lord has done. The Lord could say they're over. The Lord could say they're done. But God said, overrule. I'm going to give you a better building and it's going to cost you half the money. I mean, man. Amen. I heard about this one lady. She came out of a very difficult environment. Her father died when she was 6 years old. And not long after that, her mother had to go on dialysis. And they were very poor. Most of the other kids were out playing. And she was at home taking care of her mom. And when she was 12 years old, she'd walk to the store. She'd buy groceries. She'd cook for the family. She'd get her little brother dressed and ready to go to school every day. And being at such a disadvantage, it looked like she would never, it looked like she'd miss her purpose. But despite all these hardships, she just kept on being her best. She didn't have a victim mentality. She believed in the God who overrules, and she excelled in school. She got a full scholarship to a prestigious college. She got a degree. She went on and got a master's degree. Today she owns a successful business. She's happily married, 3 beautiful children. She said, I never dreamed I'd be here. I'm the first one in my family to get a degree. I'm the first one in my family to own their own business. I'm the first one in my family to raise their children in church. Listen, family, all the odds were against her. She could have become a statistic. But what happened? God said, overrule. He didn't just bring her out. He compensated her. And you might have situations that have put you at a disadvantage in your life. I want you to know God sees it. God knows exactly what you have been through, family. He knows what you didn't get. He knows who left you. He knows where you are. That is not your final destination. Family, that's the lower court's verdict, but the good news is our God is in the overruling business. Your time is coming, vindication is coming, promotion is coming, abundance is coming. Keep on being your best, family. Keep on honoring God. Stay faithful to the Lord. The Bible says in Proverbs 31 and verse 23 that the Lord preserves the faithful. The Lord preserves the faithful. Do you know what the word preserve means? The word preserve means to guard. It means to protect. It means to keep. It means to defend. It means to safeguard. It means to shelter. It means to shield. David said, the Lord is a shield about me. The Lord is my high tower. The contemporary Bible says the Lord protects the faithful. The Message Bible says God takes care of those who stay close to Him. Proverbs 28 verse 20 says, a faithful person will abound with blessing. Listen, if you will stay faithful to God, if you will keep on putting Him first, if you will keep on trusting Him, if you will keep on praying, if you will keep on praising, if you will keep on coming to church, no matter what you may be facing, keep on serving, keep on giving. Let me tell you, like with that lady, there is favor in your future that is going to amaze you. God is going to overrule what has been holding you back. He's going to judge in your favor. Amen. If you believe it, and it's not to bear. Then I'll thank you. You're overruling in my favor. Many of the things we struggle with have been passed down in our family life. It's not a coincidence that we're tempted in certain areas. that we're having to deal with that addiction, that depression, that hot temper. Those are spirits that keep getting passed down from generation to generation. Do you know, just like you can pass down physical traits, our looks, our size?
Sorry,
sorry. Our hair color. You can, how many of you can pass these things down? I mean, we look at our grandchildren. I look at Grady. I may be biased, but I think he looks just like me. She looks like me. She looks like me. You can pass down physical traits. How many of you know that's true? Do you know you can pass down attitudes? You can pass down dysfunction? The enemy didn't start with you. He started way back in your family life. In the scripture, Isaac's wife, Rebecca, she was dishonest. Rebecca manipulated her children. She deceived her husband to try and get her own way. And her son Isaac was just like her. He was a deceiver. He tricked his brother out of his birthright. He tricked his father into giving him the blessing. Jacob's uncle Laban had the same problem. He was dishonest. He told Jacob, if you work for me for 7 years, I'll let you marry my beautiful daughter Rachel. And then on the wedding night, you all know what he did, right? He switched them around and he slipped in the other daughter who had the good personality. And then he told Jacob, I changed my mind. You've got to work for me for 14 years. And then I'll give you both Rachel and Leah. There was a spirit of deception in the family line. It looked like it would be passed from generation to generation. But one day God in his mercy said, enough is enough. I'm putting an end to this generational curse. And Jacob humbled himself. He admitted he was wrong. And God changed him and changed his name from Jacob to Israel. Jacob means deceiver. Israel means prince with God. It was a turning point. Because Jacob's son, Joseph, was just the opposite. He was a man of great integrity. You won't find one negative thing about Joseph in all of the scripture. Up until Joseph, you see deception, dishonesty. But when it came to Joseph, everything stopped. What happened? God said, overrule. This curse is broken. And some of you, some of the things that you're dealing with, are things that have been passed down. It didn't start with you, but I believe it's going to end with you. I believe God is saying, I'm about to overrule some negative baggage in your family life. I'm about to overrule the dysfunction, the addictions, the lack, the struggle. Listen, this is a new day, family. Freedom is coming to your house. Wholeness is coming to your family life. You're the difference maker. I believe because you're honoring God, you're going to see the God who overrules put a stop to it. Like with Jacob, that generational curse is being broken. The generational blessing is beginning. You were created to be free, to live healthy, to be whole, secure, blessed. Don't get comfortable with this. Don't settle for things that are less than God's best. That is not who you are. You need to put your faith out there. Father, I thank you that you are overruling every negative thing that is holding me back. Thank you, Lord. You are overruling every enemy. You're judging in my favor. Because let me tell you, God not only overrules what comes against us, Lord, but sometimes God overrules our own wrong choices.
Yes.
Do you know, without the mercy of God, you can never fulfill your destiny.
Amen.
Do you remember God told Jonah to go to the city of Nineveh? But Jonah didn't want to go to Nineveh. He wanted to go in the other direction, to Tarshish. And what's interesting is God didn't stop him from going the wrong direction. God didn't stop him from getting on a boat headed toward Tarshish. God didn't stop him. Do you know God respects your free will? Do you know God doesn't make you go to church?
That's right.
Some people I kind of wish he did. You know what I'm saying? I wish they just got stuck to the ceiling. Boom! And then they dropped back down. I guess I should go to church today. But how many know God never made you come to church today?
Right. Yeah.
God allowed all those things to happen. Jonah made the wrong decision, got in the boat, went the wrong way. But when the huge storm arose and the crew threw Jonah overboard, he should have drowned. I mean, that should have been the end. Are you kidding me?
Yeah.
A storm. I went scuba diving in Cape Town. I was telling our friends about it, and Pastor Allen, he took me scuba diving in Cape Town. Lord and glory. I survived. First of all, the water was 40 degrees. Secondly, the visibility was 3 feet. I could see 3 feet, nothing beyond. Thirdly, there was such a bad swell in the water when I was down, there was kelp, seaweed kelp on the floor. I had to hold on to the kelp because otherwise I would get blown away. I'm not exaggerating. I got so seasick scuba diving, I came up, I started throwing up. I thought, I'm not enjoying this. Where I scuba dive, the water is 76 degrees, 100 foot visibility, and it's nice and calm. That's stupid. So I said to Pastor Allen, I'm going to go back. And so he said, I'll go with you. So I start swimming back. And the next thing, I get caught in this forest of kelp on the top of the water. If I didn't have a... When you scuba dive, you have what they call a BCD. You put air. You can put air. It's like a life vest. If I didn't have that life vest, I would have drowned. I'm not kidding you. I put my BCD... Pastor Adam came to rescue me. He lost his fin. I mean, it was like... And I thought to myself, can you imagine, John?
Yeah.
He didn't have any BCD with air. He didn't have any life vest. He should have drowned. You get thrown in the ocean. Are you kidding me? Then you can't survive in a storm in the ocean. It should have been the end.
Yeah.
But that's when God stepped in. And he said, overrule. He had a big fish waiting to swallow Jonah and take him to dry ground. God didn't stop all of Jonah's mistakes, but he did stop him from missing his destiny. How many of us wouldn't be here if God hadn't overruled some of our wrong choices?
Yeah.
You could have married the wrong person. You could have married the wrong person, but God said overruled, and he shut that door.
Good.
That addiction could have taken your life.
Yeah.
But God said overruled, I have a destiny for you. You lost your temper, you were about to tell your boss off, and God said overruled, and he closed your mouth, and for some reason you couldn't do it. You wouldn't have that job if it wasn't for the God who overruled you. You might be headed down the wrong path today, making decisions that are not the best. Don't be surprised if you encounter the God who overrules. Let me tell you, God loves you too much to let you miss your destiny. The scripture talks about the mercies of God. In 2 Corinthians 1 verse 3, it says, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies. Notice it says mercies. The God of all comfort, the Father of mercies. It's not singular, it's plural. Because again and again, God shows us mercy. You know, friends that you had growing up, and I think about some of the friends I was growing up with, used to party with. Some of them may not still be there today. They didn't make it. That could have been you. But the God who overruled stepped in, and here you are, clean, free, healthy, in church. I mean, you could have had a nervous breakdown. You could have buckled under all the pressure. But when you thought you couldn't take it anymore, the God who overrules put a stop to it. Now you're stronger than ever. Some of the people that you grew up with, I mean, if they could see you now in church, honoring God, clean, free, blessed, I mean, they'd be so shocked, you'd have to pick them up off the floor. Because of the God who overrules. Remember, Jesus said to Peter in Luke 22, he said, Simon Peter, Satan has asked for you that he may sift you as wheat, but I have prayed for you that your faith should not fail. And when you have returned to me, strengthen your brethren. Now let me tell you, I can preach on this verse all day long, because there's so much in this verse. Jesus was saying, Peter, the enemy's coming against you. He's going to try to distract you. He's going to try to discourage you. He's going to try and get you off course. But don't worry, Peter, I'm praying for you. I'm going to strengthen you. I'm not going to let you be defeated. I'm the God who overrules. Do you know what I love? Jesus said, Peter, you're going to deny me 3 times. But when you come back, I want you to strengthen your brethren. Do you know that Jesus has planned your comeback before you even had the setback? Jesus planned your comeback before you even had the setback. I love it. It's not like the church today. Because if Peter was in the church today, he wouldn't be allowed to preach for a whole year. He'd have to take a year and not be able to preach again. That's what they do today. I'm going to take you out. I'm going to shut you up. Restoration. Let me ask you something. Do you think it's a pretty bad sin to deny the Lord 3 times when you've been with him 3.5 years? Is it pretty bad to curse? I'm telling you, blankety blank, I don't know, man. Is that a bad thing? Is that a bad thing?
Yes.
And yet, Jesus said, when you come back, strengthen your brethren. In other words, the moment he repented and boom, Peter was the one on the day of Pentecost, preached to 3,000 people, got saved.
Yeah.
I love that.
Yes.
When life gets tough, when things come against you, you are not on your own. Yeah. You have an advantage. Jesus is seated at the right hand of the Father. And do you know, he is always praying for you. The Bible says in Hebrews 7, verse 25, he is able to save completely those who come to God through him because he always lives to intercede for them. He always lives to intercede for them. Listen to the Amplified Bible. Listen to what it says. It says, therefore he is able also to save to the uttermost, completely, perfectly, finally, and for all time and eternity, those who come to God through him, since he is always living to make petition to God and intercede with him and intervene for them. He always lives to make intercession. He always lives to intervene for them. He's always praying. It's one thing to have people praying for you. It's one thing to have friends standing in faith. But when you have the risen Savior, when you have the God of all the universe praying for you, you cannot be defeated. He is praying for you. He's always praying for you, intervening for you. Amen. Say thank you, Jesus. You are praying for me. Right now. I mean, think about that. God, Jesus is always living to intercede and pray for you. 2,000 years ago, Jesus hung on a cross. He was beaten by soldiers. He was mocked. He was ridiculed. It looked like it was over. All of hell was rejoicing. But do you know, up in the heavens, God the Father did not panic. He didn't say, what happened? My plan didn't work out. He simply said, overruled. The lower court said, Jesus was done. Jesus defeated. The higher court said, I don't think so. On the third day, Jesus came out of the grave. He said in Revelation 1:18, I am he who was dead, and I am alive. He who lives, I was dead, and behold, I'm alive forevermore, and I have the keys of death, hell, and the grave. I am he who was dead. And I am alive forevermore. How many of you know if Jesus can overrule death, if Jesus can overrule the grave, if Jesus can overrule all the forces of darkness, don't you think he can overrule whatever situation is holding you back? Don't you think he can overrule that thing in your life that's holding you back?
Amen.
Those obstacles, they might look permanent, but in your spirit, I want you to hear this today. God, I want you to get this in your spirit. God is saying, overruled. Overruled. That dysfunction might have been in your family for generations. But I want to tell you, the God who overrules is about to put a stop to it. I believe, family. I declare God is delivering you from powerful enemies. I believe right now God is judging in your favor. I declare what stopped you in the past is not going to stop you anymore. You are coming into freedom. You are coming into wholeness. You are coming into abundance. You are coming into victory. The fullness of your destiny, I declare it in the name of Jesus. If you believe it, if you receive it, you're going to be able to come. Say thank you, Lord.
Thank you, Lord.
And you are with me. Greater is he
who
is in me
than
any enemy
that
will come against me. If God is for me, who can be against me? No weapon formed against me can ever succeed, can ever prosper. The God who overrules is on my side, and I can do all things through Christ who gives me strength. Say to say, thank you, Lord, that you are judging in my favor. Thank you, Lord, that you are rescuing me from powerful enemies. Thank you, Lord, you are bringing me into victory, abundance, freedom, in the name of Jesus. Lord, I praise you and I thank you that the God who overrules, the supreme Lord of the universe, is on my side. He is my Father. He is for me. No one can hold me back, can stand against me, in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. You get this morning? Behind the pillar the whole time. I'm sorry. I want you to know this morning, family, I don't know what you may be facing, but I want to encourage you. Because I have been in places myself where I did not see my way. But God has. And whatever it is you're facing, you need to know today. When you know God is for you, do you know it gives you such a confidence? It gives you such a boldness. It gives you such a peace when you truly believe God's on my side. God is for me. No matter what I face. Listen, it's just temporary. It's just temporary. He's overruling this. He's judging in my favor. My Father is the ultimate judge. Praise God. Lord, we thank you today that no matter what may come against us, no matter what we may face, even mistakes we make and wrong decisions we make, Lord, when we call out to you, turn back to you, just like with Jonah, you overrule our decisions. You overrule every You reach down and you lift us up and rescue us. Thank you, Lord. We thank you today that we can go out of here with confidence, with faith, with hope, with peace. We don't need to worry. That's why, Lord, you told us so many times, don't worry, don't be anxious. Cast your cares on the Lord. Cast your cares on me. Lord, thank you. We can cast every care, every worry, every concern. We can cast it on you. Because we know you promised you'll take care of it for us. Lord, if you provide and take care of the birds of the air, how much more valuable, you said, how much more valuable are we than the birds? Lord, we know you take care of us. We thank you for your angels that protect us. We thank you, Lord, you are the Lord, our provider. You supply every need. We rely on you, Lord. We rely on you in the name of Jesus. Lord, I pray for every person this morning, whatever they may be facing. I pray that you will strengthen them. I pray that that your word that has been spoken today, I pray that it will go down into every heart. And that as we go out of here today, that we won't forget what we've heard, but that your word will continue to just turn and burn and churn in our heart and in our mind, and all through this week we'll be reminded, we'll be conscious of the fact that the God who overrules is on my side and he is with me. And Lord, we will live this week knowing you're with us, you are for us, in the name of Jesus. I want to ask you, why do you have your eyes closed and while you have your head bowed, there's one more prayer that I want to pray that is the most important part of this whole service today. And that is, I want to pray right now, I want to pray for anyone who's here this morning and you are not sure where you stand with God. You are not sure if all is well, if all is right between you and the Lord. I want to ask you a question. If you were to die today, can you say that you know for certain, can you say that you know without any doubt that you would go to heaven? Or would you have to be honest? Say, Pastor Steve, if I die today, I hope I go to heaven. I do believe in God. I'm a member of such and such a church. Listen, I'm not asking you if you belong to a church. I'm not asking you if you believe in God. I'm asking you, if you died today, are you certain that you would spend all of eternity in heaven? Because let me tell you, the good news is you can be certain of that. You can be sure of that. In fact, you can leave here this morning and you can know without any doubt that when you die, heaven is where you will spend all of eternity. Heaven is a real place. Let me tell you, there's a heaven to gain and there's a hell to shun. And I want to pray for you. I'm not going to embarrass you. I'm not going to ask you to stand up. But right where you're sitting, while we have our eyes closed, this is between you and God. If you say, Pastor Steve, include me in that prayer that you're about to pray, because I want to make sure that all is right with me and God. I want to make sure that I have peace with the Lord. I want to make sure, Pastor Steve, when I die, I want to go to heaven. I don't want to go to hell. Pray for me. I want you, if you want to be included in this prayer that I'm about to pray, I want you quickly, right now, to just slip your hand up, lift it up high, in the name of Jesus. Just lift up your hand. I'm looking for hands. If your hand is raised, you're included in that prayer. Thank you. God bless you. I see your hand. I see your hand. I see your hand. I see your hand. Thank you so much. Everyone who lifted up your hand, I'm going to lead you in this prayer, and I'm going to ask you, please, say this prayer with me. Say it from your heart. And church, let's all say this prayer together with them. So everybody, say this today. Say, dear God, I thank you that you love me so much. You sent your Son, the Lord Jesus, to come to this earth and to die on a cross, to give His life for me. Lord, your word says that if I believe that God raised Jesus from the dead, and if I confess that He is my Lord, you said I would be saved. I would be your child. And so I do this today. I believe with all my heart, Lord Jesus, you are the Son of God. You died on a cross for me. You took my sin. And you rose from the dead on the third day. And I ask you to come into my life, come into my heart, forgive me of my sins, save me, Lord. I surrender my life to you. I declare, Jesus, you are now the Lord of my life. From today, I'm going to live for you. I'm going to walk with you. I'm going to do what your Bible says. And I thank you. Because I have received you, I am now saved, I am born again, I'm a child of God. God, you're my very own Father, I'm your very own child. Heaven is now my home, and my name is written down in the book of life. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. And everybody said amen. Today, a few minutes will be done. We've got a couple of things I want to tell you, but I want to ask you, when we close out the service, please remain seated where you are, because we have some volunteers and from our church. They saw you lift your hand. They're going to come over to you. They're going to give you a couple of gifts, a few things we want to give you before you go home. So if you lifted your hand for that prayer, just remain seated where you are, and we'll get to you. Praise God. Did you get something out of this this morning? Heavenly neighbor, God is overruling every enemy and standing against me. Amen. my side. Nothing can stand against me.
I'm trying to be polite to people on this side and that side. Praise God. Good preaching. Good word. Amen. And you know, I couldn't shake this, but this morning, every time I picture the church, I kept seeing arrows on top, you know, different people's heads. I see an arrow this way, an arrow that way, and really felt like the Holy Spirit was saying, the people that have walked in here that have, that are really seeking God's direction, whether it's in your business or personally, you're seeking direction, you should expect that when you walk out of this door today, God's giving you exactly what you need to know, that you have answers. Well, this is the time in the service where we have the great opportunity to support the kingdom of God with tithes and offerings. Amen. Underneath you, right where you're sitting, should be an envelope. There's various ways you can give. It will come up on the screens around the walls. And those who are watching online, you can go ahead and give online. You're able to do that just with a click of the button. But as you prepare yourself, I want to say to you, you know, tithes and offerings are God's way of providing for His house. That's God's idea. It's His way of providing for His house. But the good news is that not only is that true, but when we give tithes and offerings, it is also God's way of providing for our house. Because that's when the windows of heaven are open above us. You know, oftentimes people have different ideas and thoughts about how to raise funds for church, and believe me, however they come, it's great. You know, money comes in to the kingdom of God, but ultimately, tithes and offerings are the plan of God. That's the way it's meant to be. Sometimes we think of other ways, but let's just follow God's plan. Make it real easy. I'm going to read you one passage of scripture from 1 Corinthians 16. And Paul's writing and giving instructions to the church. It says, now concerning the collection for the saints, or another translation says, now concerning the offering. As I have given orders to the church of Galatia, so you must do also. On the first day of the week, say on the first day of the week. So you must do, on the first day of the week, let each one of you, say each one of us, lay aside, lay something aside, storing up as he may prosper. Another translation says, in proportion to what you're given. Storing up as he may prosper, that there may be no collections when I come. So it's really important in the kingdom of God. The principle is that each one of us, according to what we have, and not according to what somebody else has, it's only according to what we have, in proportion to what we have. And sometimes, you know, it's interesting because you think that people who don't have as much think that people who have a lot should give more. But people who have a lot think, well, that's a lot to give. I'll give a little bit. But God says if we just do our part, then everything's taken care of. Amen. So he says, bring the first tenth of your income. That means if you get $10, only one is for God. But if you get 10,000, then 1,000 is for God. It's all the same proportion. Amen? It's according to what we have. And I just want to tell you, you know, we hear some testimonies, but a couple of weeks ago, one of our members called and he said to Pastor Steve, I want to come by and drop off an offering. I don't want to wait till the weekend. For the new building. So he came by and he had an envelope and a check for $1,000 and we prayed over him. And he said to us it was really hard for him to give it because his business had been slow. You know, things had happened in his company that was not his fault that had slowed his whole business down. So when he'd done really well the year before, everything was slow. So he said, when I go to give this check, I'm kind of fearful because things are not being the way they should be. Well, anyway, he said this week, last week he told us that two of the brokers at his company resigned, and he was given the task of following up and trying to retain their clients. And so he said he was able, or he's already been able to retain like $12 million of those investments, and there would be more to come. So now he's running to keep up with the business that he has. So God can turn things around really quickly. But it's key that we obey him. You know, this is not about Pastor Steve and I. This is not a principle we dreamed up to say, well, how could we get a new building? Let's talk people into something. This is God's idea. It works in our lives. We teach our kids, do this, God will provide for you. And it works. We see it working. We were just sharing at dinner last night, and our friends Kevin and Brenda were saying, you know, the things we've done, we were talking about some of the things we've done through the years, and they said the things we've done, we don't even know how we did them. But God provided. And I said, we feel the same way. It's not like you say, oh, well, I had a lot of money in the bank, and so I did this and I did that. But you turn around and you're like, wow, I put my kids through private school. Wow, I put four kids through university. And just various things. And you say, God was always there for me. And that's what happens. When we provide for God's house with tithes and offerings, God opens the windows of heaven and he provides for our house. Amen. So just prepare yourself. We appreciate. We're so thankful for those who are so faithful to give. And go ahead and prepare for that.
Well, let me just say before they do that, is that I want to, you know, thank you for your faithful giving, and thank you also to everyone who's given toward that new building. And you know, we had to raise $75,000 for the new building. We've already paid $25,000. Our next $25,000 payment is due